Hello, everybody. This is Marshall Poe. I'm the founder and editor of the New Books Network. I've published several academic books, and one of the things I found frustrating is my inability to get them picked up in the press. There really is no PR service specifically oriented toward academic books. Recently, however, I had the opportunity to work with a PR firm in New York, RLM, on a book that I recently published. And I have to say, they did a remarkable job at a very low price. And this got me thinking, I wonder if the New Books Network and RLM could provide a service that would promote academic books. So the folks at RLM and I put our heads together and we came up with a package. It is specifically targeted toward people like you, people who write academic books. So if you're interested, you should go to the NBN website and click publish your book, and there you'll find some information about the services that the NBN and RLM are offering. What we really want to do is provide you with value for money. As far as we know, no such service exists. This is the first of its kind, and we really hope it is successful, and we hope that it helps you get the word out about your academic book.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the New Books Network. This is your host, Paul. Today, we're going to be speaking with Mr. David Kushner about his book, Rise of the Dungeon Master, Gary Gygax and the Creation of D&D, published by Nation Books in 2017. This book was illustrated by Corin Shadmi. So, welcome to the show, David. Thanks for coming.
Thanks for having me.
As is the tradition on the channel, maybe we should just start with a little bit about yourself, where you're from, your background, and then your relationship with D&D and the subject matter of the book.
Sure. So I'm a journalist and author. I'm a contributing editor at Rolling Stone. And I've, you know, authored several books, including Masters of Doom, which was about the co-creators of the seminal first-person shooters Doom and Quake. So, you know, writing about gaming has always been an interest of mine. I do a lot of stories where there's a computer chip in them somewhere. You know, whether it's hackers or, you know, kind of the early days online and all that. So, and growing up in Florida, I was a big gamer myself and, you know, played D&D. And although personally, I kind of grew impatient with it and I spent most of my lawn mowing money in the arcade playing, you know, Defender and stuff like that. But I always, you know, I always had a real respect and a real strong interest in Dungeons and Dragons, you know, which to me kind of like Doom, you know, was a seminal, not only a seminal game, but a seminal kind of work of popular culture, influence on popular culture. I think that D&D today, we're just seeing the incredible influence of this more and more every day when you look around, whether it's just the ubiquity of fantasy and, you know, stuff like Game of Thrones or, you know, certainly if you look throughout the video game industry, you know, not only specifically in the role-playing game genre of video games, but, you know, as I explore in the graphic novel, you know, Dungeons and Dragons was, but especially was, I think, during those pre, you know, internet, pre kind of computer culture days, this was like an operating system that you could plug into your brain and you could imagine these worlds. And so, you know, when you look at the Dungeons and Dragons impact on the video game industry today, it's as much that it just fostered creativity amongst this new generation, this generation that would go on to make games of all types. So, you know, that's kind of been my interest in D&D. And then back in 2007, 2008, I did a long feature story for Wired magazine, which was a profile of Gary Gygax. And I went to interview him. I also interviewed many others, you know, in his world, including Dave Arneson, sort of somewhat unsung co-creator of the game. And that's the basis of the graphic novel, which now here, you know, nearly a decade later, I put together with the help of illustrator Corin Shodmi. So that's my long story of how I got to Rise of the Dungeon Master.
Great. Well, it's just a fantastic graphic novel, and the style of illustration is really wonderful too. How did you get linked up with Corin Shodmi? Had you known him previously, or
no, I didn't. You know, I proposed the idea to an editor I know at Nation Books, and she liked it, and you know, she was really the one who started churning up a list of potential illustrators. And, you know, Corin, not only was he a really talented illustrator, but he was, somebody who grew up playing D&D and so had that understanding. And had, in fact, had previously thought about doing, a D&D themed graphic novel. So it was just a perfect, you know, match in that regard. And we had a lot of fun working on it together.
How did you come to the decision initially to do the graphic novel format?
You know, again, just going back to my roots of being a big nerd, you know, I always loved comics. I loved, you know, Mad Magazine was a big influence on me. I always liked graphic novels, and back when they were, I guess, maybe just called underground comics. And, so I've been interested in the form and in the medium, and I've been interested in opportunities within that medium. Like, I'm always interested in, I write about new mediums, you know, video games, or you could say that D&D was kind of a new medium. And I've been interested in graphic novels, which I don't think we've really, you know, what I started noticing is that graphic novels fell into a few categories. Like, primarily, you know, you had the sort of fictional graphic novels. And then you had the nonfiction ones. They were the you know, there's been a lot of graphic memoirs. So it's a author / illustrator, same person. And then there's been some comics journalism out there. But again, a lot of it is one person who's the author and the illustrator, and I'm not an illustrator. And, but you know, I'm a journalist, and I thought, you know, it'd be cool to take some of these stories, which I think would lend themselves to graphic novels, and, you know, bring the kind of, the gravitas of like, the journalism, the reporting and the interviewing and all that. But, presenting it in this form. So, and to me, you know, Dungeons and Dragons was just sort of like the perfect story, because, you know, it's dealing with a kind of magic realism, which I thought would lend itself really well to the graphic novel, where, you know, for example, when, you know, they're playing the game or working on the game, you could actually incorporate sort of real, you know, monsters and mazes in the world around them. So to have fun with it in that respect.
Absolutely. So were your main sources for building the narrative around Gary's life for your Wired article and subsequently for the graphic novel, were your main sources journalistic ones of going out and interviewing friends and family and colleagues, or, mm-hmm. or other sorts of sources?
Yeah. That's what I did. I mean, in fact, I interviewed Gary Gygax a few times for different reasons, but the main one was this Wired story, and I went to Lake Geneva and spent, you know, there was a gaming convention there, a really small one that Gary organized, and it was called the Lake Geneva Convention. And you know, that was, I spent time there, I gamed with him, we just hung out, drove me around, you know. He wasn't, one little anecdote that I found interesting about him was that he didn't have a driver's license, so he couldn't drive. So my tape of interviewing him, it's just me basically driving him around, and he wouldn't put on a seatbelt, so you just hear the seatbelt beep chiming throughout the whole tape. But you know, so there was that, and then I flew down to Orlando, and where Dave Arneson was teaching at Full Sail University. He was teaching game design. So yeah, just did the kind of my usual reporting, talking to a bunch of people and reading and assembling all that. So the graphic novel, you know, is an adaptation of the story that I did for Wired, but there's more things in there that I wasn't able to explore in the Wired piece.
Strikes me that Gary seemed like a really down to earth, humble person. If you Google Gary Gygax, or look on YouTube, there's remarkably little of him as a public figure. What was it like for you to just spend time with him and game with him as a person?
You know, I have to say it was, I definitely was fanboying a little bit, just because it's like, I mean, God, I've interviewed so many people over the course of my career. Many are, you know, famous or not. I mean, the fair number of I've interviewed famous people, I should say, along the way, but you know, Gygax, I guess, just because I was a gamer and I get it, you know, I understand D&D and what it meant and what it means. That was just cool. I mean, he's kind of like the Jerry Garcia of role-playing games. So, you know, it was cool to meet him and, you know, get him to sign my monster manual and stuff for sure. Like that. But, and I really, you know, I mean, look, I mean, to sit and actually play a role-playing game with the Dungeon Master, I appreciate the fact that this was a very unique opportunity, but, you know, he was definitely a larger than life character, and he was not, you know, I think people have noted about the graphic novel. I mean, it's not, you know, it's a warts and all story. So, I mean, he was a complex person, you know, he wasn't always the nicest person. But that's, you know, that's what it is to be a human being. And that's the story I tried to tell. So, you know, he's very strong-willed, strong-minded. I mean, I noticed that in hanging out with him, in terms of, like, his point of view on things that you wouldn't really – I mean, at least I didn't know at the time things that you would expect him to be interested in that he just didn't like Lord of the Rings. He had a lot of negative things to say about Lord of the Rings. I mean, I didn't know that. You know, video games. He was not a big fan of video games. So – and then also just kind of learning about his own personal journey, which was, you know, surprising, that, you know, as I explore in the book that he became a religious person later in life. So, you know, it was a really wonderful opportunity.
Not an opportunity that many gamers have had, so you're definitely among the lucky ones. And what about Dave Arneson? You mentioned you went down to Orlando to speak to him too, and unfortunately I think that you're very right that he's missed much of the credit that really is owing to him for his role in the creation of Dungeons and Dragons, but at the same time I've heard that he really is not bitter about it, or was not bitter about
was
it.
I don't know about that. I don't know about that. I mean, he was, how could you not be? I mean, I think that there had to be some bitterness there, but you know, he was, when I met with him, my impression of him was that he was a genuine, you know, he enjoyed teaching. He enjoyed, passing on game design. I mean, I remember he was always wearing a black baseball cap that said Dungeons & Dragons on it. I mean, he was very proud of what he had done. And, you know, there's an interesting phenomenon behind a lot of innovation, which is this idea of a duo, you know, and of the sort of the you know, the amazing thing that this duo can achieve together, and then the tension and, you know, and the falling out. We've seen this again and again, whether it's, you know, the story of Apple, or whether it's the story, you know, in Steve Wozniak and Steve Jobs, or if you see, you know, in the case of Doom and Quake, which I wrote about, John Carmack and John Romero. And certainly, you know, Dave Arneson and Gary fit that mold to a large degree, in that, you know, I think Gary was kind of, you know, he was the front man. He was the ambitious businessman. You know, Dave was a bit more of the sort of behind the scenes, but made some hugely important contributions. And, you know, but I think ultimately got a little bit overshadowed.
And too, when you look at where the game is at now and where it's come from, I have presently in my office the first edition, the first advanced Dungeons & Dragons. Dungeon Master Guide with the by Gary Gygax emblazoned on the front. And the difference between that book, which is basically chock full of reference tables. It looks like a war game from the Napoleonic era or something, which is very, very Gygaxian. The difference between that and the fifth edition Player's Handbook, or the fifth edition Dungeon Master Guide, which is absolutely Arnesonian in contrast. Uh-huh. It's all about creating a space where your imagination fills in the gaps, and not even attempting to have a table for what happens when a half-elf spy tries to listen through a door.
Yeah.
Gygax kind of, my understanding at least, and I'd be interested on your insight in this, is that Gygax sort of thought you could account for everything. And Arneson, one of his sort of philosophical conflicts with Arneson was that Arneson said, "You're crazy. You can't go down that path."
Yeah, I think that's accurate. And, you know, and I think that, but that also, you know, that became a kind of, you know, that was sort of how they live their lives too, I think. You know, I mean, Gary, you know, going out to Hollywood and trying to expand and do, like, you know, just going, just kind of, I don't know, maybe too strong to say controlling everything, but there was that, you know. And I think that Dave, certainly by his own design of his life, he kind of let the reins go, which is sort of what I think he wanted to do with the Players as well. So yeah, I do think that that's, you know, that's true.
I've asked this of a few of the other authors who've come on the show talking about Dungeons and Dragons and the people behind it, but was there anything that surprised you that you had encountered when you were doing your research and your interviews with Gygax and Arneson and some of these other players in these early days of D&D?
I mean, I think, you know, a few of the things that I mentioned, you know, I mean, just to expand on that, like, I just found it interesting that Gygax, you know, he was really, some people called him the Antichrist. Like, you know, there was a period of time when the panic over D&D was very real. There's a chapter in the book, chapter 6, I believe, that deals with the story of Dallas Egbert, who was the student who went missing under the steam tunnels at a university in Michigan. And, you know, which set off kind of a lot of the hysteria about the game, and, like, supposedly it was satanic. And then you had these religious groups who would create these, like, religious tracts warning parents about, you know, what their kids were doing in the basements and conjuring demons and all of that. So I found it really surprising and interesting that Gary, toward the, you know, later in life, sort of discovered religion and the this idea of, like, the person who's supposedly the Antichrist, like, becoming religious. I just found that to be a compelling arc of his story. So so that was one aspect that I found surprising.
What do you think the legacy is today of Gygax and Arneson's creation in our contemporary space?
Well, you know, as I was saying before, I mean, I just think that it's getting bigger by the day. I mean, just turn on TV and, you know, there's Stranger Things and Game of Thrones and all of that. And, you know, and you know, I mean, I think it's like it was The Rock and all these, you know, the people coming out as D&D players. You know, it used to be kind of dangerous to be a nerd. And I think that when in those early days in D&D, it's like, you know, it wasn't so cool. It's certainly cool now, I think, to say that you play Dungeons and Dragons. And, you know, and I think that's just partly because the generation who grew up playing it is now in power. So you're seeing, you know, shows like Stranger Things, which is like an homage to D&D, very heartfelt. You know, people who grew up playing it are now, the game are now kind of creating their own tributes to it, or, you know, they're wearing their influences on their sleeves. So, I think, you know, as I was saying before a little bit, that like that the influence of D&D is not just specifically on the genre of role-playing games, you know, both paper role-playing games and video games, but perhaps even, even more impactfully is the influence it had on all the players who went on to, you know, it was sort of like their boot camp of creativity was Dungeons and Dragons. And that, I think, is what the real legacy of the game, or what the, one of the biggest legacies of the game is, I should say.
Wrapping up, what's next for you, David? Any projects coming up?
Sure. You know, I'm always working on other magazine stories. I'm working on a book that is sort of about the early days of the internet. And I definitely plan to do some more, another graphic novel. You know, I enjoyed this experience quite a bit, and I think it's a really, you know, for certain stories, certain true stories, it's a perfect way to tell them on a broader canvas. So looking forward to that.
Well, we thank you so much for coming on the New Books and talking about the amazing graphic novel, Rise of the Dungeon Master.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much, David.
You're welcome.